right now.
Let me get this straight. You're threatening an XWL fighter with a punch?
He laughs, but his nostrils flare. I'm pissing him off. And I realize I like it. There's a lot of commotion in the room, people stretching and shouting, but we're both so oblivious to our surroundings, an alien spaceship could land right between us, and we wouldn't even notice. Yes, we both know you won't hit back.
Why?
Because I'm a girl, I say with conviction, eyes rolling. His face is so close to mine, I'm almost able to touch his lips. Hormones want to wrestle him to the mat-covered floor, and not in a professional jiu-jitsu way, but brain still has the upper hand. Ty's warm breath caresses my skin, giving me goosebumps. I'm convinced my heart is thudding loud enough that not just everyone in the room can hear it, but everyone in the county. The air sizzles between us. Jesse finally notices us and yells from across the room, "Tyler, get your ass over here, bro. We're about to start." Ty doesn't break his intense stare and holds my gaze for a few more seconds.
You want to hit me?
I'm good.
Let's see if you're as good as your words after class. But you're staying.
He thumbs my ribcage, and even though I want to run away, I stay put. Not because he tells me to, but because I sure as hell don't want him to think I'm afraid of him. We start off with dynamic stretching and move to cardio, with lots of jump squats and walking lunges. It's intense, but I try to keep up. I don't smoke much weed, I really don't, but I'm beginning to reassess whether to ditch my new hobby altogether. I don't remember feeling so out of breath when working out, and I used to be a sporty kid up until my senior year in high school, practically the best runner out of all the girls in my class. I feel dizzy and exhausted as hell, but my pride won't let me stop. I wish I had the same approach to college. It might have saved me time and my parents a whole lot of money in pep talks.
Doing a great job there, kid.
Jesse gives me the thumbs up as I complete another round of sprinting and crawling. At this point, nausea takes over my entire body, but I'm not giving up. Tyler ignores my existence, but I somehow figured that he would. After warm-up, we get down to business, and this is much harder for me to keep up with. I don't have the technique or the knowledge to compete with the person I'm paired with. As it happens, I'm teamed up with a veteran kickboxer named Josie. Josie is a real ball buster. She's well into her 40s, but could probably skin me alive and use my body as a living room rug if she wanted. I'm no challenge for her, and she's obviously growing frustrated with my inability to fight back. We take turns holding the pad for each other when the other person throws punches. Neither of us actually gets hit, but I get tired whenever it's my turn to spar and exhausted from holding the pad whenever she throws punches. I know I'm slowing her down, and she's losing patience. Put the pad higher towards your face. I don't want to break your pretty little nose, she warns for the fourth time as we're circling, shadowboxing each other. And trust me, Barbie, I can.
Whoa, Barbie?
I've seen your pink mini, hun. It's real cute, just like your glittery top. But I need you to focus. I don't get many chances to work out during the week, she explains. I'm trying, Jackie Chan Jr. Cut me some slack. This is my first time. I'm panting and constantly wiping sweat from my forehead with the back of my forearm. Maybe I shouldn't have gone all G.I. Jane and wasted all my energy in the first 15 minutes. You want to learn or you want to whine, Barbie? Hold the pad higher. I'm not a Barbie, I grunt, which clearly contradicts my point. Jesse and Tyler are moving among the sparring pairs, offering tips and instructions. The last thing I need right now is Ty butting into this thing. So, unsurprisingly, fate leads him straight to our corner. Seriously, there are like 40 people in this room.
What's up, Josie? Ty asks.
He brought his irresistible mouthwash and hot dude smell with him. Why'd he have to do that? She's getting it, Josie wheezes, tossing another blow. But she hates it when I call her Barbie. Ty's eyes light up like a Christmas tree when he hears my new, humiliating nickname.
Suits her. Have you seen her car? Perfect name.
He winks at me and then glues his mouth to my ear.
Stop firing aimless shots when you spar. Plan ahead, and don't hold the pad so tight. You're wasting your energy, he says, and walks off.
Oh boy, you're in trouble now, Barbie.
Josie laughs and throws another punch at me. This time, she doesn't hold back on her strength. My body bounces backward from the blow. but the pad absorbs the hit. This time I don't wince. Josie whistles her approval, circling me with an interested expression.
How do you mean? I ask.
I'm pretty sure it's her turn to hold the pad, but I'm not in a hurry to send more useless punches. I know Ty, and I know how he is around girls. He likes you. But watch out, this one will eat you alive.
Are these people for real? Who talks like that?
I blush, biting my inner cheek. I think it's my turn now, Josie. I hand her the pad. Josie looks disappointed, but she knows she milked the situation long enough. We changed positions, and I study her for a few seconds, debating how to go around it. I can throw aimless punches, or I can try and mimic the guy to my right. I've been watching him throughout the class, and he seems to know what he's doing. I choose the second option and send a roundhouse kick and then a jab, trying to aim straight to the middle of the pad.
Whoa, Barbie!
Josie's eyes widen, almost in slow-mo, as she tumbles backwards slightly. According to Josie, I just threw a combination. Ty is looking at me, arms folded over his chiseled chest. The whole class stops to see how the newbie kicked ass against all odds. Confidence washes through me.
Good? I pant.
I will never be able to do this again. Ever.
Great, Josie smirks.
So you can stop calling me Barbie? I ask.
Sure thing.
She wiggles her eyebrows and cocks her head in Ty's direction.
But he won't.
Chapter 4. Jesse unwraps my hands from the tight boxing gloves while I'm babbling about my so-called combination. An uninformed person would suspect I had just taken down Arnold Schwarzenegger and Muhammad Ali together. I wince when I realize my knuckles are bright red and keep fidgeting with my fingers to help the blood circulation flow.
You did good, Blair, Jesse compliments. You should hit class more often.
I smile and squeeze his hand. Jesse is nice, but I think I'll stick to running and hitting yoga classes every once in a while. I'm still freaked out by MMA, and it'll never be my scene. Plus, I'm pretty sure I was running on zero oxygen throughout the majority of class. Now I'm not a doctor, but this can't be good, right? The room is beginning to empty out, but people are still milling around Ty, asking him questions. Especially girls. My hair is plastered on my sticky temples and my cheeks are flushed. My tight yoga pants and pink top are soaked, but I feel absurdly invincible. Finally, Tyler walks back to us, taking a sip of his protein shake. There are still a few people scattered around the room, talking about head kicks and whatnot. Tyler stares at me, his eyes unwavering.
Everybody out! He orders, raising his voice. Barbie stays!
The chatter stops, and everyone's curious eyes are fixed on me. I fold my arms, trying to look indifferent, but my blush betrays me. Jesse shakes his head, laughing to himself, and stands up from the stools we sit on.
Watch yourself, Blair. This one takes no prisoners.
He walks away, slapping bags and herding people out of the room. Everyone seems to accept Ty's order and dashes off with no argument. He wears authority incredibly well. Another thing to add to the list of things I find irritating about him. I watch the door closing behind the last person to walk out and close my eyes, inhaling all the oxygen I can get into my lungs. I can handle him. I can handle Ty Wilder. Of course I can handle Ty Wilder. I'm a kind of strong, semi-independent woman, and I can handle Ty Wilder. Jesus Christ, I so can't handle him. He paces around me like a tiger, checking me out head to toe, and doesn't even attempt to hide it. His eyes are scanning me like he's trying to decide whether he likes what he sees. I'm acutely aware of my body, and I instinctively suck in my stomach and straighten my posture. When I realize what I've done, I'm horrified. Every feminist bone in my body instructs me to get the hell out of here, but brain is momentarily kidnapped by hormones and has duct tape plastered to his mouth. I'm melting like candle wax from the intentness of his gaze. I'm freaking mute. Just as well, since I doubt I'd make much sense when he is so incredibly close. Punch me, Barbie, he murmurs, his hooded gaze boring into my clothes, making me feel, oh, so very naked. Stop calling me that. I wet my lips, my mouth dry. He keeps circling me, his wife beater tight against his muscular body. Punch me.
Now, he barks into my face. What the hell are you waiting for? Come on, give it all you've got.
I lift my arm and send a weak punch into his bicep, barely making contact. He throws his beautiful head back and laughs, showing off a string of pearly whites. His smile dies quickly.
Harder, Barbie! Thump! Harder! Thump! Harder!
I stop and stare at him. He moves closer. I know he expects it to throw me off balance, and I play along. I take a step back, so he takes two steps forward. He is now predictable to me, and I have every intention of taking advantage of it. Plan ahead, he said, right? We continue this stupid tango until I have him at an angle that allows me to throw a good punch.
You get off on bullying me, don't you?
I build momentum and throw the hardest blow I can produce. My knuckles throb as my fist collides with his taut stomach muscles. Even though I'm the one hitting him, I'm also the one yelping like a little girl who just got wedgied. The impact is so hard, my shoulder almost dislocates. I'd like to think I managed to hurt him, but judging by the lazy smirk plastered on his face, I doubt he felt it.
Seriously?
I shriek. He didn't even flinch. He taps his lower lip, looking upward, pretending to think about something.
You do realize I'm a professional fighter, right?
Nah, I thought you were an astrophysicist. I bite my inner cheek and fold my arms. His smirk breaks into a grin, and he pins me against the wall and boxes me between his massive arms. I gasp my surprise and feel the heat humming between us like electricity. There's crazy laughter in his eyes, and I can feel his ribs and abs crushing against my chest. His forefinger presses on my lips as his weight shifts into my much smaller body with force. Do not yell, he whispers. Every hair on my body stands at attention. I battle for air, my gaze shifting from his eyes to his lips. I'm under a deep spell, and I'm beginning to forget the reason I don't want him in the first place. He's so sinfully sexy that it actually makes me angry. Angry at him, angry at myself, and especially angry at his mother, who raised a son who was so freaking sure he can have every girl he's ever laid his eyes on. Ty's staring down at me, calculating his next move under those thick, dark eyelashes. His jaw is clenched, and he looks like a million things are running through his head at the same time. Tyler? I clear my throat. My voice sounds foreign to me. Don't kiss me. I don't want to get hurt. And kissing him is hurling me in the fast lane towards a collision with this walking calamity. Cocky, overconfident, explosive. And I have absolutely no control over my feelings around him. You're scared, he states evenly, his gaze steady on mine. I nod, closing my eyes, before I'm the one who kisses him.
Good. You should be.
He untangles me from his grasp and takes a step back. Air leaves my lungs once I'm no longer clasped between his arms, leaving me deflated and cold. He starts walking towards the door as I hold one arm against the wall, regaining my balance.
That was a good punch, he mutters, almost to himself.
But the next thing he says is loud and clear, and definitely meant for me to hear.
And you're right. To be scared. I would never hit you, Barbie. But I'll hurt you, all right.
He shuts the door behind him with a thud, leaving me to stand alone in the big, empty room. I slide down the wall to the floor and clasp my head, shaking it as I try to figure out what just happened. I'm in trouble. Deep, deep trouble. I'm not sure eating an egg salad sandwich before watching The Walking Dead is a good combo, I moan, my head resting beside Shane's shoulder. We're both fighting our gag reflex, our eyes glued to the TV as a zombie's head explodes.
I'm not sure eating and watching The Walking Dead is a good combo, period, he says.
On the TV screen, Rick is doing some father-son bonding with Carl as they both kill a bunch of zombies. I sigh and burrow into Shane's, I like kids, they're delicious with ketchup, tea.
How was the practice today, Dopey?
He runs his fingers through my hair, and I let him. So what if he squeezed my leg the other day? He's also a close friend, and I'm sure he got the hint. 10 shades of super weird. I did well during cardio and managed one good kick, but got really weird vibes from Ty. Shane rolls his eyes. That asshole almost crushed my hand. Don't let him hold any babies. I giggle uncomfortably. Wondering if I should tell him how Ty kicked everyone else out of the room so I could punch his arm for 5 minutes. Probably not. After Shane's recent, I want to get in your pants vibes, I'm not sure spiking this disastrous recipe with Ty's action is the right thing to do. How's the Elizabeth's passion research going? Spoke to Izzy yet? I ask. I'm sure Professor Penniman isn't expecting me to talk to someone who actually models for them. I got an interview lined up with one of their PR people next week. I got shit handled. You're kidding me, right? I sit up straight, searching his face. You grew up with one of their biggest models, and you refuse to get her help? What happened between you two when you traveled to France and met her there? Am I nuts for thinking these two did something behind my back that made them hate each other's guts? Last night, when I tried to talk to Izzy about Shane, she switched the subject to the weather. The weather! Nothing. Nothing happened. No drama. Don't act like we ever got along. You never avoided each other either. Well, up until recently. We move in different circles. He shrugs, his jaw tensing. I sigh and shake my head. Talk to her. Even if she acts like she doesn't give a damn, I know Izzy. She hates it when people are mad at her. As if on cue, my BFF presses the pause button and grasps my shoulders firmly. I immediately know we are going to have the talk. You know, the one where you smash your friendship into a million pieces because one of you decides they want to know how it feels to take a roll between the sheets. I need to put the brakes on this thing fast. We cannot have the talk. I'm not ready for the talk. Talking is overrated. Why can't we just watch zombies being killed? Sorry, Ty, didn't mean you. Listen, Blair, we gotta talk. Crap. What's up? I cock my head with a casual smile, but my discomfort is evident. I wish I were the zombie Rick had just smashed a rock into and not my human, flustered self. I can't lose Shane, but I can't date him either. He's perfect, not just for me. In fact, if anything, he is way out of my league. I see how girls look at him, laugh at his jokes, whisper when his Mustang drives by. He is friendly, outgoing, funny, and most girls would find him drool-worthy. Just not me. I never really got how best friends can turn into lovers. I know too much about him. Hell, he knows too much about me. There is nothing mildly mysterious or sexy about our dynamics, and that's why all of this seems so crazy. Guilt washes over me as Shane grabs his beer, tips his head back, and drains it in one swig, slamming the empty bottle down on the table. Here goes. Blair, you're one hell of a girl, but I suspect you already know what I think about you. You're the girl who can make a guy laugh, but also make him think. You can be one of the guys, but somehow remain so freaking hot at the same time. Shane looks down toward his feet. Maybe I should fake a faint, or pretend to throw up. Scratch that. I can totally throw up for real right now. It's just sad that all this delicious food will go to waste. And you... he continues with a humorless laugh. You have no idea how beautiful you are, which kind of makes you even hotter. Oh no, he's still talking. So what's it gonna be, Blair? Faint or puke? I don't want to hurt him. He is awesome and deserves someone far better than me. I'm broken. I'm raw. I'm in trouble. And it occurred to me that seeing as we're both blindingly intelligent, passionately intellectual, sexy beasts, we could... I want to yell at him to stop. He's driving into the friend zone. He cannot switch lanes to boyfriend. That's an illegal turn. Two double yellow lines.
We could.
Bzzz. My doorbell rings. Phew. Talk about timing. I play exasperated, when in reality, Darth Vader could be standing on the other side of the door, and I'd be completely okay with it. But I'm not expecting anyone. I dart towards the door like my ass is on fire and glance through the peephole. For some stupid, inexplicable reason, I hope to see Ty on the other side, despite the fact he doesn't have my address, and I basically rejected him earlier today by asking him not to kiss me. It's my mother. Mom? I open the door. She rushes in, her hands full of paper bags.
Hello, little peanut,
she chirps, dumping the bags on my kitchen island. I stand in the middle of my apartment, shifting my eyes from a startled Chang to a cheerful mom. Awkward doesn't even begin to describe this mess. My mom never shows up unannounced. She must come bearing a pretty insane piece of gossip. Shit, I hope Izzy isn't pregnant.
Oh, Shane, honey, I didn't know you'd be here. I was just in the neighborhood and I thought I'd drop by and bring Blair some
more reason to let Shane know this conversation is over?
Snacks.
I didn't mean to interrupt your fun. She waves the air frantically, like she's putting out an imaginary fire.
Don't be silly, Mom.
I start helping her unpack the groceries. I don't rule out holding her hostage if it means I can avoid a confrontation with Shane. Seeing as this is my mom we are talking about, that says it all. Shane stands up and puts his shoes on, hopping from one corner of the room to the other in an attempt to lace up his boots. He seems as comfortable as a cat trying to avoid the rain. It's cool. I was just heading out anyway, he assures. How are you, Mrs. Stern?
Great. Thank you, Shane. And you? How is college life treating you?
Can't complain. Doing my best. He flashes his confident smile, regaining his composure. He's a slacker, just like me. Only Shane is too smart to fail at anything, anywhere. They share an awkward hug, my mother's grin hinting she's intrigued at finding our ex-neighbor here.
I'm so happy you two are still close.
She scans the room, hoping to find what exactly? Evidence of a hookup? Yeah, well, I've always been a big fan of your daughter. Shane quickly adds, the less famous one. After a few more pleasantries, Shane leaves and my mom and I chat about work, Izzy, not pregnant, and everything in between. When she coos about how handsome Shane is, I refuse to cooperate. She then suggests I borrow one of Izzy's cute designer outfits the next time I meet him.
So he can see just how pretty you can be, she suggests.
Gee, thanks, Mom. Jane Stern would love for me to have a boyfriend. I wonder what she'd think if I introduced her to Tyler. Actually, I know exactly what she'd think. Hair buzz so close to the scalp, cauliflower fighter's ears, an 80-20 ratio of ink to skin. Nope, she would not be weeping with joy. But she would be weeping, all right. When she brings up the subject of school, I inwardly cringe. I don't have helicopter parents, per se. They let Izzy get away with whatever she wants to do. Then again, she's financially independent. I, on the other hand, have always been the quieter, less confident one. For that reason alone, I was expected to shine academically, but instead, my grades were so bad that the only degree I'm qualified for is in communications, and up until this year, it didn't look like I'd manage even that.
How's school, darling?
It's good. I shove something in my mouth. Donut hole, sponge cake? I'm not even hungry, just stalling, to be honest. Mom's powerful glare is burning holes in my face.
If you're struggling again and need any help,
I'm not struggling. I cut her off sharply, hating myself for being so harsh, but knowing that my mother will never back down. I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. In fact, acing my courses and everything.
I'm just worried about you.
No. I start clearing the living room table of the plates Shane and I left. You're worried about the tuition bill you paid.
Blair!
My mother springs from her seat, but quickly goes back to her normal, unruffled self.
Don't say such things. I'm just doing everything I can to make sure you succeed.
Yes, including threatening to revoke financial support if I don't graduate this year. But I'm not in the mood for another argument. Mom, I promise. School is good. After about an hour, our spontaneous get-together nears an end. Mom gathers her belongings and heads for the door. As I take a sip of my Diet Coke, she drops the mother of all atom bombs.
Oh, by the way, your grandmother is getting married.
I choke, spraying my Coke all over my coffee table and carpeted floor. There's not a single hole in my face that isn't shooting soda right now.
Nana Marty? I ask in astonishment.
The name clarification is totally unnecessary, though, because my other grandma, Sally, has been 6 feet under for a decade now and is probably not planning a wedding in the immediate future.
To who? A man she met at the retirement complex. His name is Simon.
Simon?
He's 74.
74.
They're moving in together.
Moving in together? I choke again. My grandmother's love life is more eventful than mine, and she's like 83. Doesn't that make her a cradle snatcher? Or a wheelchair snatcher? Shit. Nana Marty's getting married?
Mom delivers the wedding details through tight lips, meaning she is not happy about it.
Well, is she ever happy, really?
Right now, she's leaning toward a vineyard in Sausalito. Beautiful resort. Marvelous. The place has Victorian-era gingerbread architecture.
Sounds fancy. How many guests?
Not many. Most of Nana's friends are, well, dead.
When?
The middle of June, she says cautiously, cocking one eyebrow to watch my reaction. My mouth falls open.
I'm graduating the middle of June.
Well, Mom clears her throat and plucks at her pastel Ralph Lauren cardigan, removing an invisible lint ball. There's still time, and we'll see how and when and if.
And if? My family doesn't believe I'll graduate. What the hell? I feel a knot forming in my stomach, but I know debating the point is a waste of breath. My parents made it clear that I entered their shit list the minute I failed a year of college. So I swallow the insult, as bad as it tastes. Thanks for stopping by, I say flatly, staring past her and motioning at the door. I can't make eye contact with her right now without exploding into pieces of insecurity.
My mother sighs in exasperation. Little peanut, she mutters almost silently before I hear the door shut.
Chapter 5. Two margaritas and four Cosmos coming right up, I yell from behind the bar to Bree, the waitress on the other side. I'm shaking my ass to a heavy metal version of Tainted Love. Yeah, Ned's is that kind of neighborhood joint. Lots of 80s and classic rock music, a little metal and punk, and zero pop and country crap. No jukebox, thank God. I get to pick the music on my shifts, as long as I don't go too loud or too indie, which is a serious plus when you're a music buff like me. All the waitresses and bartenders are in their mid-30s at least. Well, other than me. There's something very family-oriented about this place. Ned's belongs to a Texas transplant named Mikey, who is loud and funny and probably the most good-natured guy you'll ever come across. Mikey surrounds himself with good people, affordable alcohol, and great food, which makes Ned's a perfect combination and one of the best places to visit in Walnut Creek. Hurry up, I need to pee. Bree knits her legs together, dancing in place like a drunken marionette. She's mid-30s, African-American, and a real classic beauty. I work fast to prepare the drinks, but I know it's going to take some time because the table all went for girly cocktails with a 5-page ingredient list. People rarely order fancy cocktails here. Ned's is a beer and shots kind of place, so it's not like I'm used to doing this. Go ahead to the bathroom. I quickly line up tall glasses and take out tequila, lemon, and cranberry juice, my hands loaded. I'll deliver the drinks once I'm done mixing them. What table?
9. Thanks, Blair. You can't miss them. 6 loud blonde girls with air balloons for boobs.
I nod, blending another Cosmo, still singing horribly out of tune. Bree contemplates this for a second before I smack her on the ass with my dish towel.
Go!
She hops toward the bathroom, shooting me a relieved smile. Bree is right. Spotting the blonde girls is not a difficult task. They all have this daddy didn't love me pout, with extra short skirts, bleached hair, and... are those fake eyelashes? Interesting. When I serve them their drinks, they ignore me and keep talking.
So I texted him and said, listen, I don't care who you are. I'm not waiting around here for 2 hours until you're done messing around with these three sluts. And he was like, well, Nicole, no one handcuffed you to my bed. Even though he totally did that at one point, if you remember the time we bumped into each other in Tahoe. And I was like, are you serious? Are we actually having this conversation over text? It's bad enough he's sleeping around with every single girl I work with. So I called him twice, and he didn't pick up. Nicole's story piques my interest, and it hurts my feminist self at the same time. I decide to stick around and listen to the rest of it. I usually don't bump into juicy relationship stories. All my friends are dudes, and none of them are the type that pull this kind of crap. It's like flipping through the channels and stumbling across an old Ricky Lake rerun. You don't want to be caught looking, but damn if it's not super fascinating on some screwed up level. So I told him I was done with him. Went to his gym and told him it's over. Get this, the douchebag didn't care. I was so upset, you guys. I was literally crying, and he just kept training. I actually had my dad pick me up because I couldn't drive. Fast forward 2 days later, and the bastard calls me up. Nicole's eyes briefly browse over me with a flicker of curiosity. I no longer have a valid reason to stand around like a bump on a log, eavesdropping on her heartbreaking monologue, so I pretend to dust the fireplace behind her table like a complete idiot. Needless to say, it's way out of my job description, right? Mikey, who sits at the bar with Jamie, our manager, sends me a WTF look, and Bree, who's returned from her toilet break, looks puzzled too, wondering how come I haven't hurried back to my place behind the bar. I pretend not to notice their dumbfounded stares and keep listening to Nicole as the bar gets more and more crowded with people wondering why the hell the bartender is dusting the fireplace instead of pouring drinks. Nuh-uh, the ass clown, one of Nicole's clones gasps dramatically. What a dog, agrees another blondie. Nicole is now approaching her grand finale, and I pray to God it'll arrive before I get my ass fired. So he calls me up on Tuesday, right? And get this, he's talking as if nothing happened. He's all, hey babe, what's up? Wanna come over to my place? And I'm like, what? And he's like, is that a yes or a no? Is Nicole going to get to the bottom line sometime in this decade? Because I'm running out of spots to dust and the bar is getting backed up with unattended drink orders. Luckily, after a few more seconds and complete violation of the use of the word like, Nicole finally gets to the point. Long story short, I went over to his place. At the end of the day, he's the hottest piece of ass in this county and I'm enjoying the mind-blowing sex. Guess Ty Wilder is my steady dip for now. Wait. What? I drag my feet back to the bar, stunned. He's had sex with her. And possibly with three other girls. I'm not sure why I'm surprised. This is exactly why I didn't want anything to do with him in the first place. All this Casanova behavior from an ultra-pumped MMA fighter is such a cliche. He slept with Nicole on Tuesday, the night before he almost kissed me. Not that I should be mad. He's a free agent. He can do whatever and whoever the hell he wants. But crap, this pisses me off too. I trip my way behind the counter and grip it firmly. Judging by the worried looks plastered on Bree's and Mikey's faces, I'm guessing they think I'm in the middle of some kind of seizure. I can already see the humiliating headline. Bartender, 23, dies of heart attack caused by boys she doesn't know. My hands move fast as I try to catch up with the number of orders that piled up while I was gone. I make horrendous mistakes. I pour the beer awfully, and whenever someone orders a cocktail, which is rarely, I find a way to ruin it somehow. People are finally getting the drinks they ordered 10 minutes ago, and all of them probably taste like whale sperm. Bree plucks the cranberry juice from my hand before I pour it into someone's piña colada. Sweetheart, are you okay? Maybe it's because I'm pale as a ghost and just about as jolly. Or maybe I'm lucky and she might just be referring to my cleaning the fireplace out of the blue. I just noticed all the dust, I blurt. Bree arches one brow as she scans me up and down. And I'm just noticing all the bullshit you're feeding me. Start talking, girl. Well, I have a long shift to burn and Bree has ears, so it makes sense to let her in on my latest adventures at the XWL gym. I have plenty of chances to share my love life woes with her because she has to keep returning the drinks I've prepared. People complaining they don't taste right. I remake all the orders. This time, pulling myself together.
So you have a crush on a bad boy, huh?
Bree slides beers on a tray.
No. No. No.
Maybe.
But you don't want to date him because you're afraid he'll break your heart?
Bree, mother to 14 and 12-year-old daughters, has adopted a don't bullshit me tone. It seems to be working just fine on 23-year-old me. I hit a shoulder up and fish for a piece of gum. I need to chew my nerves away. But Bree isn't done. Well, let me make it easy for you. Bad boys? They're bad. Taming the bad boy? That's a good idea for a chick flick. Doesn't usually happen in real life, though. Sweetheart, you're far too smart to be another notch on his belt. She's right. I don't want to become a statistic. Don't date the guy unless he makes it a point to show you you're different. Because you are. She cups my cheeks with her hands and smiles at me. And I don't just mean your weird musical taste and the plaid boyfriend shirts that no one actually wears but you.
I'll bring them back into fashion, I say, pouting.
Bree throws her head back and laughs. Of course you will, honey. Don't settle, do you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I spend the rest of my shift ogling Nicole and her lookalike friends and thinking about Bree's advice. Nicole is hot in a busty sorority girl way. But she has fake hair extensions, fake boobs, and her clothes suggest she is an exotic dancer. Or the least appropriately dressed teacher or business person in the world. But maybe I'm just being jealous. Oh crap, I'm jealous. I'm jealous of women who sleep with Ty. I haven't thought about Charlie Hunnam once this week. What is up with that? That's it. I'm locking Ty Wilder out of my mind and throwing the key. Just get the school assignment over with, Blair. And get the hell out of the grind. Chapter 6. 2 weeks after I receive Penniman's assignment, I begin to outline the first draft for my MMA article. I'm nowhere near ready, but for some reason, I'm excited about this task. I have hard facts and statistics, and I'm going for the gold and have already contacted the chairman of the XWL, Ian Phillips, and his peers. I visited the grind a half dozen times, making good on my promise to Dawson. I still need to ask him a few more things now that I'm more MMA savvy, and I still need to interview Ty because, unbearable or not, he could be the next XWL welterweight title holder, and I'd hate to pass on an opportunity like that. Besides, my intuition cautiously tells me that, for once in a very long time, I'm doing a good job. But the minute I set foot inside the journalism building, I start worrying about the last time I hung out with Shane. We haven't really spoken since that talk. We've both been busy with school and work. Now he is here, earbuds tucked in his ears, bobbing his head slightly as he makes his way down the hall towards the same lecture hall I'm about to enter. He's wearing an I'm with stupid tee with a finger pointing to his crotch. A herd of cute girls hello him shyly, and he stops briefly for a chat, then notices me and plucks out his earbuds. How's it going? He plants a casual kiss on top of my head. Hey, good. What are you listening to? I chirp awkwardly. I'm not even sure why, since he seems cool and pleased to see me. Blonde redhead. Listen, my roomie Josh may be able to hook me up with two tickets to I Prevail this weekend. You game? Jesus, of course I'm game. Or at least I would have been a week ago. Now, I'm afraid it might turn into a date. I bite my lower lip, trying to calculate my next move. It's not a date, he says dryly, putting me out of my misery. Obviously, I knew that. Sure, I'm in. So, how's your research going? I tilt my chin toward class and we make our way, climbing up the stairs to our usual spots. He runs his hand through his messy blonde hair and puffs out his cheeks. I called Izzy, but she didn't pick up. She's in Asia. You probably called her in the middle of the night. She'll get back to you. But somehow I'm almost sure she won't. You? He asks. I blow a lock of hair out of my eyes. I need to ask Dawson a few more questions, and I still haven't interviewed Ty. Get it over with, B. Getting all the info and interviews is not even the hard part. Putting it together is the real bitch. I chew on my lower lip. He's right.
I need to get it done if I want to graduate. And I do want to graduate, even if none of my family members actually believe that I will. I make a mental note to pay a visit to the grind and to yell at Izzy for not getting back to Shane. Damn, since when did being a responsible grown-up suck so bad? On Thursday, I arrive at the grind straight from school. Scott greets me at the reception desk with a smile and a fist kiss. Stern, stern, stern. He strokes his beard and scans me over like I'm dinner. I guess I attract guys like Scott with my casual wardrobe and low-maintenance vibe. You gonna work out today, or are you here for more interviews? Gonna try to force everyone into verbal diarrhea mode again? He cups his chin with his thumb and index finger, wiggling his eyebrows playfully. Interviews, I answer shortly. I'm not in the mood for chit-chat, just wanting to get out of here. Too bad. There's a circuit training class at 4, and it's the hottest class around nowadays. Scott tears open a cardboard box and stocks the shelves behind him with XWL baseball caps. My convo with Bree still echoes in my mind, and the thought of Ty refusing to give me the interview makes me anxious that Mom's assumption that I won't graduate will actually end up being true. Where's Dawson? I ask, scanning the venue. Upstairs in his office. He reads my mind, adding, Ty said you kicked ass in class last week. You should really try circuit training. Interviews, I repeat. Why the hell was Ty talking about me anyway? He's avoided me every time I've spotted him at the gym. Remember, Blair, you don't care. Scott boomerangs one of the hats in my direction. He grins at me when I catch it in midair. Good instincts, he says. By the way, the guy you're really looking for isn't here. He's filming a promotional video in San Francisco for the Owen Doherty fight. I shrug off his remark and pretend to check my phone. My cheeks are so hot, I feel like I just got caught masturbating in a church. I have no idea what you mean. He'll be here in a couple of hours. I'll tell him you're looking for him. Scott shakes his head and resumes stocking the baseball caps. Whatever, I'm going to see Dawson. I wave my hand at him impatiently and leave. Dawson makes time for me, even though I dropped by unannounced. I guess that's what you do when you're passionate about your job. You got pretty cool stuff for your article by now, don't you, Blair? He jerks his chin towards my laptop as I type away at some notes in his office. I nod eagerly, still looking at my screen. Yeah, actually, the only person I've yet to interview here is Ty. You gotta speak to him. He'll be fighting Doherty on June 13th in Vegas. It's a huge deal. If he wins, he might get a shot at the championship belt. I stop typing and my head shoots up. He's not very cooperative. He's got his issues. Dawson doesn't sound the least apologetic about Ty's behavior. His life's a bit of a mess. He'll talk to you eventually. He's having a hard time dealing with something, I ask, trying to dig for some info about Ty's life. Dawson smirks at me and tosses the weekly class schedule into my lap to let me know this discussion is over. Ty rolls with the punches. I'm ready to shut down my computer and head back home, but I decide the schedule is a sign I could use to let off some steam. Circuit training is the perfect outlet. This class is taught by a guy named Angel. It's intense, but has nothing to do with MMA, just a hell of a lot of aerobic exercises, and I end up dog tired. After I sweat my own body weight, I opt for a quick shower before heading back home. I crawl into the girls' locker room and peel off my damp clothes. There's an LED TV mounted on the wall in front of the mirrors, and it's showing an old bout Ty participated in with a guy named Jason Monrose that I've already watched. Ty won by submission. I step into the shower and turn the faucet on all the way, making sure the water is steaming hot. I stand beneath the stream, dropping my head backwards and enjoying the water against my bruised skin. It's easy to get lost in thought when you're taking a hot shower. The water is comforting against my skin, and my mind drifts off to my favorite guy in the whole world. Charlie Hunnam. I wish Jax Teller were here to sponge my back. I allow myself to get lost in this fantasy momentarily when Ty's stupid face floats into my thoughts. Sneaky bastard. Get out of here. My body is my temple, and my temple only accepts blonde British dudes who ride Harleys. But I still can't believe he's banged someone else the day before he almost kissed me. Right. I promised myself I'm not going there. Shush, Blair, change the subject. I resort to singing in an attempt to drown my thoughts. I start humming Blank Space. The I Prevail version, of course. murdering the song cold-heartedly, missing every single note possible, as loud as I possibly can for distraction. Every windshield in the gym parking lot is about to explode into a million pieces. Wolves are howling their agony at the sound, and I continue, undeterred. I roar the lyrics, shutting off the water and enveloping myself in one of the complimentary towels. I wipe the water drops from my face and peek around the plastic curtain, separating the shower stall from the locker room. Bang! My jaw drops to the damp concrete floor. Beyond the mist awaits Ty, and he is leaning against the wall between me and the locker where my clothes reside, his arms folded on his chest, a huge grin on his face. I let out a hysterical shriek and pedal back into the stall, shivering.
Really, Barbie? I'm the one who should be scared after this. Silence really is fucking golden.
I tug the towel tighter over my breasts, pulling at its hem to make sure my lady parts are concealed. This is so crazy, I don't have time to dwell on the fact he deeply insulted my singing. I can still hear the TV in the background. The host is talking about the guy standing in front of me.
Since these two warriors first met, it seems like they've gotten under each other's skin. It's been escalating for a long time.
What are you doing in the girls' locker room? I shriek again.
Don't worry, I won't bite.
His eyes scan me head to toe. He shakes his head, eyeing my hand clutching the towel.
Unless you want me to.
He's wearing a black suit, tailored perfectly to his wide shoulders, and a crisp white shirt open at his throat, revealing a tiny sliver of tattoo. Why are you here? I repeat, squeezing myself past his lethal body to my locker.
Pussy patrol.
He doesn't butt out of the way, even when he sees me squirming in an attempt to escape the unavoidable brush of our skin. Then he must notice my face paling, because he finally awards me with a serious answer.
Scott said you were looking for me.
Let's just hope both of them will fight clean, the commentator says from the screen.
I tug my underwear and jeans up my thighs under the towel, extra cautious not to show any skin. As usual, Ty is staring, and as usual, he isn't trying to hide it in any way. And did it not occur to you that it's the girls' locker room and that I might be, shock, horror, taking a shower?
It did. That's why I came in.
He flashes me one of his signature, dimpled smiles.
Whoa, good shot by Wilder!
The more articles of clothing I put on, the more confident I feel. I get straight to the point before he bombards me with more reason to stutter. I was looking for you because I want to interview you. Can you spare me 10 minutes?
Nope.
He swivels to the door and starts marching. Wait! I cry. My head drops when I realize how desperate I sound. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. It's vital for my assignment, I say quietly. He comes to a halt, his body still angled towards the door.
I don't do interviews. And even if I did, it's not like this article will ever get published. It's just a stupid school thing. Don't have the time to waste on this shit.
What's in it for me?
He suddenly sounds half interested.
Monrose is putting up a fight against Wilder, but Wilder's too loose and confident to make a mistake.
Don't be an ass, I tell him. This makes him turn around.
I see Feisty Barbie is back.
He takes a few steps closer, the right corner of his lips pulling into a crescent. Give me 10 minutes with you. I swallow. I watch the TV from behind him and see how he throws a head kick, his opponent dropping to the floor. Ty wastes no time leaning down and squeezing his opponent's head like a vicious snake until the referee steps between them. Monrose taps the floor multiple times with his right hand, signaling his submission. Ty takes a few long steps and stops when he's mere inches away from me. Face to face, nose to nose. My pulse rate edges up 3 notches.
Thump, 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 thump.
Ask me, he purrs, sending tremors down my spine. I swear those dark, demanding eyes are drinking my soul, emptying out every coherent thought I possess, burning my skin, his pupils feeding the flames. I stare at the V of his shirt, and wonder how the tattoo on his chest looks like up close. Jesus Christ.
Stop being curious, Blair. Focus.
Ty, can you please do a 10-minute interview for my journalism project? I roll my eyes. He puts his hands on my waist and yanks me closer. I'm melting into him, beyond excited. And judging by the huge bulge on my thigh, so is he.
Only if you'll go on a date with me, he says into my forehead,
his breath tickling my hairline. Another shiver travels down my spine, and this time it's bringing all of its friends. His thumb is lifting the hem of my shirt and rubbing my waist in leisurely circles. It makes me giddy, and hormones are clunking their champagne glasses as Brain, handcuffed in the far corner of the room, sarcastically exclaims, "She still hasn't answered him, you know."
No, I hear myself saying.
No? His brow furrows. I'm sorry. I don't think it's a good idea.
And why is that?
Amusement laces his voice. Because I build up walls high and strong and I don't let anyone through them? Ty wants in. But why should I open up to him? Because he's hot? Because he's used to getting his way? No, he needs to scale those long-ass walls, just like everyone else. I'm pretty busy this week. God, how lame do I sound? Super lame, that's how much.
Yeah, well, so am I.
He turns around and starts walking. Think about your assignment, Blair. Think about shoving your degree in Mom and Dad's faces. Think eyes on the prize. Wait, do you have a girlfriend? I hear myself asking. I don't know what his current status is, but I'm not going to date someone who's taken, no matter the reward.
No.
So who's Nicole? If Ty is surprised, his face doesn't betray him. He is as relaxed and self-assured as ever. He doesn't even ask how I know about her. I bet he's searching his brain to remember which one of them is the long-legged blonde.
I don't have a girlfriend.
I'm not going to be another notch on your train-long belt, I warn. When I started high school, I made a rule to never chase after hard-to-get guys. Then again, judging by the last 2 years, apparently I also made a rule never to date any guys. Period. Ty pauses the thumb action. He hovers close, gluing his luscious lips to my earlobe. Behind him, the crowd on the TV is cheering and chanting, USA! USA! As his bloodied figure shakes hands with the opponent he just nearly killed.
Trust me, Barbie. You'll be begging to get some of this long before I touch you.
You're touching me now. I want to pull away, but instead I shift closer, craving his touch. Damn you, hormones. A young woman enters the locker room and squeals in shock when she sees Ty standing here. I know how bad it must look. He's leaning against me, fondling my midriff, his lips to my ear. He turns around and commands, "Not now, come back in 5. His gaze returns to mine, and hormones whack Brain with the back of a semi-automatic rifle and take over my mouth. One date. I cave in. Screw it. I need this interview. Say it like you mean it, Barbie. This is so impossible. I never hated someone I like so much. Yes, Ty, I will go on a date with you. I'm slanting my gaze sideways to avoid the satisfaction in his face. Ty grins and crushes his hard body into mine, pressing my back against the wall. He raises his left hand, his palm roaming my face. His hand is warm, the pads of his fingers rough and calloused, and he leaves a tingling trail wherever he touches. First up is my cheek. Then he strokes across my jawline and to my mouth, a lazy smirk plastered on his face. He presses with his thumb against my primly clasped lips and tugs. I'm completely paralyzed.
That'll do.
For now. He brushes his nose against mine, his voice hoarse. Hormones are clapping and whistling, and they make me do the stupidest thing. My hands travel downward to his shirt to lift it up. He's so ripped, it's almost sinful not to take a look. My eyes are scorching and watery, and I try to blink back the heat. What am I doing? Just what the hell am I doing? Ty takes a half step back and grins, holding his shirt up for me and doing a little twirl. I scan his stupid, prominent V-shaped waist, gulp a deep breath, and close my eyes. I don't want to force myself on him, but watching his perfect body just might drive me to do it.
Don't feel embarrassed. Quality assurance. I get it.
His dimples deepen with his mischievous grin.
Do you want me to kiss you, Barbie?
He is now fully pressed against me, his junk within dangerous proximity of my sex. Fuck. Fuck, fuck. Brain yells at hormones, but what about what's-her-face and those three girls and his Tomcat reputation? Hormones wave brain off and order me to say yes. I'm nodding my agreement. There is something liberating about admitting it. I want him to kiss me, even if I'll hate myself for it later. I mentally prepare myself for a French kiss, taking a deep breath and parting my lips. But Ty has other plans. Before I know it, he's disconnected our bodies completely. I almost fall forward, unprepared for his withdrawal.
Told you you'd be begging for it.
He chuckles.
Your ass will be mine for 2 hours. I won't touch you if you don't want me to, and won't call afterwards unless you'd ask. But you're taking a chance on me, Valley Girl.
He strolls out of the locker room before I have the chance to reply. I'm not a Valley Girl. I'm not a Barbie, I whisper, staring at the now closed door. On TV, a very sweaty and bruised Ty is giving an interview to a hot girl who nods enthusiastically at him, holding a microphone to his lips.
Mental foreplay is one of the most important things about this sport.
I wanted to get into his head, and I did. I kept him on his toes throughout, and it paid off. Psychological preparation is half my job, and I excelled today, as I always do. I'm pretty sure he only denied me this kiss because I asked him not to kiss me the last time I saw him. And now I'm positive that if I let my guard down, he will crush me. Just like he does in the ring. Chapter 7 Izzy!
Sissy, she answers,
but without her trademark squeal. Where's your skinny ass today? I blow a cloud of soap bubbles I hold in my hand while in the bath. Izzy sounds tired and not her usual cheerful self.
New Zealand, she grumbles.
What, no summary? This is unlike my sister, who previously described Paris as chic, beautiful, and impossibly romantic, London as gorgeously cultural and interesting, and New York as the reason why foreigners still have faith in America. It looks like a sleepy Midwest town begging to be hit by a zombie apocalypse. Speaking of the apocalypse, heard about Nana pulling a surprise wedding? Yeah, hopefully she isn't rushing into this because Simon knocked her up. I bite my lower lip, and Izzy oinks a laugh. Okay, my love life is in the toilet, along with a few of my last meals. Bad case of food poisoning, so
let's hear what's up with Mr. Fight Club.
It's weird how Izzy never had much luck with men. In fact, guys don't even approach her that much. I'm probably getting hit on more than she does. Guess being frighteningly gorgeous comes with a price tag. She pays for her beauty with extreme solitude. No one thinks they stand a chance. Let's see. Tyler had the chance to kiss me in the lockers today, but didn't.
So you're saying my chipped nail varnish is still seeing more action than your vajay?
Well, he also asked me out, and I said yes, but he's going all hot and cold on me. He didn't even take my number, and I have to get a move on with my assignment. Oh, which reminds me, Shane called you. You need to get back to him. I step out of my bath and start preparing for bed.
Yeah, I saw.
She sounds solemn all of a sudden. It's a school thing. Don't ignore him. You know he's a good friend of mine. Just tell me what he needs. I'll help him through you. I don't have time to talk to him. Bullshit. I start playing with all the moisturizer and beauty crap that's on our marble countertop while listening to my twin.
The peaks and perks of the Jack and Jill bathroom we share. Face mask. Botanical pore cleaner. Cheek refiner. Eye miracle cream. Lip miracle balm. By the time Izzy's done with these, she's applied enough skincare products to prep the Statue of Liberty. I try and use moisturizers in the summer, but alas, always end up neglecting the tedious routine. Izzy, however, is all about the beauty regimens.
Just, please, I don't feel like talking to Shane. Let me know what he needs and I'll get it done, I promise.
Now, back to Tyler. I Googled him. You hit the friggin' motherlode, sissy. Izzy approves. I squeeze toothpaste onto my toothbrush with slightly too much force. Trust me, he's just an arrogant tool who shoves his you-know-what into anything he can squeeze it into. Sounds fun to me. Let me know if he has any single friends. Your twin sister is heading home soon, and she's in desperate need of some action.
I laugh. Just as I slip into my blue Cookie Monster pajamas, the doorbell chimes, and I'm so startled by the visiting hour, I accidentally bump my head into the bathroom door. It's freaking 11 p.m. I'm not expecting anyone. I hope it's not Shane.
Izzy is still on the line when I peer through the peephole. Holy hell. I gotta go. My heart flips, practicing its Cirque du Soleil moves in my chest. How did he get past security? Oh, right. Being